I wanted to get your feedback and basically hints about what I should do next.
Mm-hmm.
Here it is. Sorry. So, at the beginning I added this diagram, being helpful for the discussion.
Mm.
A little bit of the description of the three components of the backend.
Mm.
Because that's basically all my efforts are focused on that subcomponent, the backend.
Okay.
This is basically the description of the happening web page. That's not very interesting.
Mm.
So, the new backend for non-volatile memory, as I ambition.
So the first piece can go into an appendix, for instance, because that's prior knowledge.
Mm. Right, right.
You can point to the appendix for this background information.
Sure. So it would look something like this.
Mm.
So because the logic of the V3, I don't think we need to change that, right? That's basically how the tables are represented, and that will remain the same.
Okay.
And since it talks to this other layer called the payer to acquire its pages, then what we have to do is basically replace the payer layer with a new layer. Now,
that's one way.
That's one way.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes. And in this document, I'm exclusively focusing on the page granularity approach, not the one in which we look at small granularity.
Allocate, you mean?
Not only allocation, but also the transaction itself will be a page granularity. So we have basically two options, at least two options. One in which we keep a copy of the entire page, even though only a small portion of the page change, or we can log all the small portions that change.
You're talking about the pmlib option right now, not the...
Correct, yes. Now,
so this entire document is about pmlib?
Yes.
Or, okay.
Although, whatever we describe here, it's also useful for the other portion. It's just that in the other portion, basically, once you get a page, this is the layer that is actually modifying the content of these pages once they are already mapped in the process address space.
Okay.
So basically, the login part will go in here. So we have to find whatever functions use these pages in the V3 layer. Then we have to insert the login for the login. So that's a little bit more complicated.
So when you say logging, isn't that happening all inside the compiler? Which solution are you talking about now?
Okay. We have two alternative solutions, right?
Yeah.
One is our pmlib, and the other one is a language-based solution.
Okay, and this document that you've created focuses only on pmlib?
Yes. However, whatever we describe here will also be useful for the other one. It's just that the other one requires more changes.
Mm.
I believe that for pmlib, we only have to focus on one layer.
Mm.
But for the other one, we have to replace the entire layer and make change to the V3 layer. Because in the V3 layer is the one that is actually making the changes at the patient led, at smaller than the patient led. So in that logic, we have to find in every point we should make those changes and add the login for the transactions.
So the logging is all happening inside the language infrastructure, right? The developer doesn't need to do anything. It just needs to do, it only needs to specify persistence versus non-persistent types.
No, I don't think that is the case. The only thing that what you're doing by specifying persisting and non-persisting is just the pointers.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically how you're going to interpret the pointers.
Okay.
But for the transaction itself, they have a construct that looks like, semantically looks like a block in which you say all this is going to be a transaction.
Yes.
But you have to annotate that manually.
Oh yeah, but no logging, explicit logging. Because logging means creating a log and writing stuff to it, right? That's what I understand by logging.
Yes.
What you're talking about is creating transactions of blocks of code where you don't want partial changes to be reflected in persistent memory.
Right, but
whether it's implemented internally using a log or copy and write, that's an independent concern.
No, but you still have to manually add the, say, I want to log this.
Lock or log?
Log, L-O-G.
In the language specification that I saw, there is no logging required. You just create these blocks of atomic executions. Is there a log? There is a log. I think I do remember. There's something called NV log commit or something like that.
Yes.
But it's just a block of a code that you put within an atomic block, right? I mean, specify that it needs to be executed atomically. You don't create an explicit log. You don't write to the log.
But you don't know what changed. Just to give you an example. Suppose that you're appending a new row in a table, right? So what's going to happen is you're going to find the page in which you're going to add that. You map that page, and that page has some previous rows. So you're going to find that page, what portion of the page you're going to use to actually enter the data for the row.
The whole page is persistent memory, yes. Allocation.
Yes.
Okay.
So so in that page, you're going to find space to add the new row. So it means you're going to update some portion of the page. How do you know what was that? Which portion was if the call uses a main copy? Which is basically what they do. Right? They build this thing that they call a cell that has some metadata and the data.
Yeah.
And then you say, this whole payload, I'm going to main copy to this index in the page.
Sure. But I think you don't, I mean, as a developer, you don't have to worry about that. As long as you specify that that specific page, the entire page, is persistent memory, this language-based infrastructure will take care of whatever needs to be done, you know, logging
no.
and so on. All you need to specify is that all the changes I'm making starting now until this endpoint need to be atomic.
How would they know?
How does the language know? That I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. But I'm expecting that the language will take care of it because there is this nvlog commit block that I created, right? And within which any changes that I make can be rolled back.
No. What I remember working in the reason why I think that is not the case.
You think that the developer needs to do more than this?
Yes. Yes, you need to be explicit about what you're going to log. So in the transaction, you're going to make a couple of changes and you want all of them to happen atomically, all of them. So you need to say, I want to log this, this, and that. Now, in the case of a pointers, when you're assigning pointers because you specify these pointers are persistent, there's logic already that's doing that for you. But if you're changing something else that is not a pointer,
but it's a persistent memory allocation.
Yes. Then you have to be explicit about that.
I thought that any changes during the nvlog commit block will be automatically journaled inside the persistent memory.
How would they know what changed?
That I don't know. I don't know how they do it internally. But when I looked at the description of how to use the nvlog commit, it didn't seem like I had to do anything else except specify the nvlog commit block. And any changes that you make to stuff that has been allocated persistently, including persistent pointers, will be rolled back if there is a failure. Any changes. That's what I think. Because I don't see any example of a code where things are being logged in the document that...
Well, the main reason why I don't think that is the case is because the first thing that I did during the internship was modifying this log that they have.
This is internal infrastructure you're talking about.
Yes. So they have this logging system that provides transactions. And it logs whatever you say. I want to log this specifically. And then I modified that to use page faulting mechanism and log entire pages and compare two approaches.
Okay.
And that's why I know that it's not as simple as you're saying it is. There is more involved. You need to be specific about what you need to log.
Well, whether you're using page faulting mechanism or some other fine-grained logging are both internal concerns. Right, of the infrastructure. I don't think they should be visible to the user.
It's just I don't see any other way for you to make a transaction.
I don't know either. I mean, I don't know how they trap the writes and protect the pages that are involved in persistent memory for the nvlog.
They don't, right? They don't do any of that. in the logging, what you're going to do is basically, this is what I'm going to log. So you log those changes. You create, you at the end, you say, commit my transaction. You append to the log, the marker say, I have every other information that I need to make the transaction. Then you apply these changes. If you fail, you roll them back. Otherwise, you say, oh, good to go, and we remove all the entries for that transaction.
You may be right. I don't completely understand how they do it internally. So it's important for us to understand how the persistent memory library is supposed to be used, because the use cases that I've seen do not involve marking any stuff as need to be logged. And then you create an NVLog commit block after that. I haven't seen that in the document that they sent me.
I think that description is very high level. It sounds like some what they want to have. But what I've seen that they have, it's not even close to that. And I don't even see a way to merge that gap.
I don't know what they do on the inside. So it's important for us to know that. So I'm glad you're bringing this up, because it's an important step for us to understand, you know, how the library works and how it is supposed to be used.
Okay.
So let's go back to this lib. I think whatever we do here may or may not be applicable to the other thing, because we are not sure about our understanding of the other thing yet.
Well, at least the allocation mechanism and the granularity will be the same for both approaches, so that will apply to both solutions.
Yeah.
What's going on? Wake up. Okay. So basically, we replace this layer with a new one called MBA Payer. Now, the previous version of the payer, it does a couple of things. It has internally, well, first of all, it provides a mechanism.
Page cache is the same as pager?
Yes.
Okay.
So this is a description of what it does.
Okay. Let's call it pager, because I think that's the term that those guys are using. Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
So it provides a mechanism to give a page to the upper layer, and it keeps track of references. It has internally a cache, so that when you say, I want to read this, I put in the cache, and when you ask for the same page again, I don't have to read it. For instance, the first page of the database, which contains metadata, is always in the cache, because you're constantly modifying that. It keeps some track of dirty pages and things like that. So when you commit, only writes dirty pages.
Okay.
So all that. And the locking mechanism for the transactions. Now, in our case, we replace that guy, and we still have to provide a way to allocate at a page granularity, because the B-tree operates at a page granularity. I don't think we need a caching mechanism for that one, because this is memory. So the operation basically becomes, is the page is either mapping the process hatch space or it's not.
There may be some benefits to caching depending on the performance differences between persistent memory and volatile memory, right?
Right.
But let's assume that that is not the case.
Right.
That is not significant enough to be considered at this stage.
Okay.
Yeah.
So for now, the caching logic disappears. We may or may not have to preserve some of the logging scheme. It depends how we do the transaction. But in principle, we have to provide the same... what's the word that I'm looking for? Functionality, right? So, in the original version, there's another layer here, which is called the OS layer. We don't care about that because we don't directly talk to the file systems. We're going to be talking to the PMLib or some other library, which eventually talks to PMFS. Now, I need to update this, but in principle, there are two things that this guy needs from PMLib. It's a way to allocate free pages, and a way to explicitly say, talk about transactions. In our model, we don't have an explicit call to say, I'm starting a transaction now. That is implicit. And I have some information about that. Basically, transaction n plus one starts right after transaction n ends. But we do have to explore a new interface, which we don't have, which is a way to roll back a transaction. Basically, I mean, whatever changes you have so far, throw that away. I don't care about that anymore. And that should be fairly straightforward because we already have that in place.
Mm. Yeah.
For the crash recovery mechanism.
Mm-hmm.
So here we will have the commit and a rollback function that we need to export. And the core is basically the rest of the logic, which I don't describe here. Brief description here. Oh, yes. So
for Friday, I think it would be good for you to talk about this chart right here. Just pull it into a presentation and talk about that and describe some of the components.
Okay.
As you keep refining this, I guess you'll also update this document, right?
Right.
And maybe that's what will eventually go into the paper. This looks good. I think the two main capabilities are allocating persistent memory and creating transactions and committing or rolling them back. Transaction creation is implicit, like you said. Committing, we have a mechanism for that. Rolling back, we don't have a mechanism, but it's straightforward to extend pmlib for doing that.
Right. I had a couple of doubts while I was doing this.
Hmm.
Okay, so here the expansion by the OS layer disappears. So the memory allocation. Sorry about that. There's something here that should be about a mapping. Okay, I guess there's somewhere right. So the other thing that I did was since we're replacing the payer layer with another one, we still have to provide the same interface because all the other layers expect that interface. So what I did here is a description, some small categorization and brief description of every function that is exported by the original payer layer.
Mm-hmm.
The first one is just open and close, self-explanatory. And this one that basically reads the respective metadata. I think these two, eventually I guess what I need to do is describe how, have a high level description of how each one of these is going to be implemented. Like for instance, the open, I guess we need to create a container.
Mm.
In the close, we close the container, and in this guy, we have to read the first page of the container, something like that, or whatever we define as the first page of the database, because the container has its own first page.
Has its own metadata, yes.
Right. Okay, so there's a bunch of other things here. I guess this is not very interesting. The most significant ones are, okay, so to obtain references. So this guy, acquire and lookup. Acquire is going to get you a page, and so the way it works is basically I need page number n. Confined. If n it's a page that is actually part of the database, then if required you're going to read it. If it's in the cache, I just give it to you from the cache. If n is the size of the database is n minus 1, then you're going to allocate memory and give it to me. Lookup, it's similar, but it doesn't do any read. It just, if it's not in memory, I don't do anything else. So
if it's not in memory, then how it fails? If it's not in memory, it just fails.
It's just a way to check whether some of the pages in
cache.
In cache, yes.
Okay.
So I guess something like this could be implemented, just allocate a page.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the first doubt that popped into my mind was the size of the pages.
Mm.
Page numbers are used to some extent tells you what the index in the file is. So does that mean that we need to have a special mapping layer? Because the first page, for then, it's not the first real page because of the metadata of the container. Also, if we want to maintain the original page size, which is 1 kilobyte. Do we have a map? Do we have to have a mapping? because and one page for the backend contains actually 4 pages for the database, and since the name of the page also tells you about the offset, there's some implicit order in which the page are served. Things like this. Although I think there are very few pages that have to have a fixed location. Everything else could be anywhere.
The question is the Lima address.
Yes.
Can we use the Lima address
yes.
as a proxy for the page number?
I believe so. Yes,
mm.
That's what I think. But I also think that only very few pages have to have a fixed location. From there, everything else could be anywhere.
The Lima address is, does the Lima address also include the container metadata? I mean, the address space of the Lima address, does it include container metadata?
Yes, Sierra is where metadata is.
So where does data start? And I guess
it's not
clear if you can directly map it, because Lima address includes not just data but also metadata.
Correct, yes.
So there is data metadata interspersed with data. So whatever mapping you need to do cannot be straightforward, that you give a page number and you map it to a Lima address and you retrieve that Lima address, right?
Yes.
It has to be more than that.
Yes. That is a good point. Yes. So it's possible that we need to make a distinction or have some indirection layer
this,
or do something to how to solve this problem.
Yeah, so the way I see it is that the pager is actually a layer on top of PMLib, which has its own metadata. And that metadata is just a mapping between page number and Lima address of some kind.
But this mapping then needs to be more persistent.
Yes. Yeah, and it will be, because this is a container that the SQLite container contains the data that application stores in, so it's the database as well as some additional metadata.
Yes.
It needs to be both.
So we're definitely gonna need a mapping, right?
It seems like it. I haven't thought much about it, but it seems like it.
Right, I'm not sure either, but the idea came and I just wrote a brief note.
Yeah.
We have these sub functions that basically increment the counter in the cache.
Hmm.
I don't know if we have to maintain this or not, or if this becomes no up, because we, at least in this iteration, won't have a cache.
Hmm. Hmm.
Now, these ones are also interesting, especially this one. In a model that we have, we rely on page faulty mechanism, but databases don't do that, or at least this one doesn't do that, because you have this explicit function that says, hey, I'm going to make changes to this page. So we may or may not use this to basically change the permissions of the page, make the modification, and then put it read-only again. And that means that we never have to fault.
Data page is writable and it's added to the journal.
Yes.
But that's because there is a copy that's created.
Right, so when you say, before you actually write the page, after you acquire all the logs, you call this function, which is basically saying, I want to write to this page. And, if you don't have the page, it will find it for you, and then you make a copy of that page into the log.
Mm-hmm. And
then you make the change to the actual page.
In our case, we don't have that luxury, because we don't make copies in the log.
Well, we make copies too, right?
We make copies too, but only by marking the page as read-only.
The pages are always read-only.
But if this actually goes ahead and makes the page writable, then we cannot catch any write faults.
We need to basically define how we want to implement this. One way is that...
It sounds like a no-op.
A no-op?
Mm-hmm.
And we maintain the faulty mechanism?
We have to. Otherwise, we don't have a copy.
No. We could use this to make a copy and never fault.
Oh, I see. Well, then we are implementing our own journaling mechanism.
It's very similar.
Actually, it's similar, yeah.
The reason why I think it's probably better to do it that way is that we skip default, which is
well, not just
expensive.
That, and we could also make copies at the page 1 kilobyte granularity.
I don't know if we can do that. Oh yes, because we know which page you're talking about, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if we can do that. That's the more significant change.
It's an optimization.
But we can probably skip the default mechanism, which is expensive, right?
Yeah, true. We could do that, but I wouldn't. I'll start by making this an OOP.
Okay.
So that we don't spend a lot of time doing this.
This is just basically saying, don't write this page. It's a mechanism that it has even to say, to tell to the cache, even if this page is marked as dated, don't write it to the disk.
Mm.
I guess for some reason it means that. Move page. Move from page to the different location.
It does not need to be written. So it's not bad to be written, but it doesn't have to be. Because in our case, it would always be written to persistent memory.
What do you mean? What this means is that don't write it back to the persistent media.
So you don't need to write it back.
Right.
It doesn't say don't write ever.
Oh, that's how I interpret it.
But if you look at this I'm just reading, does not need to be written, even if it is dirty.
Right, and if I don't need to, I don't do it.
But we don't have that choice.
Oh, no. I think it uses that for some page that it keeps around for whatever thing that is not part of the database.
But if it's not part of the database, why does it have a number?
Because the database file has pages that are actually part of the database. Some pages are free and some pages are...
But all of this would be in persistent memory in our case, right?
Yes, yes.
And so we don't have a choice, don't write choice.
Well, we don't have a cache, so this is probably a no-op.
That's what I'm saying. I think we're talking about the same thing.
Okay. Okay. I need to dig deeper in this one, see, understand what happens. What does it mean to move a page? Is this just a reference, or is this actually move the content from one place to another?
Yeah, I think we talked about this briefly last time.
Page. You may or may not need this. And this is just wrappers. Basically, when we talk about pages, what we actually mean here is just a structure that represents the page.
Which also has a reference card. Maybe.
Which has a reference to the page and a reference to some extra data that you could...
Such as a reference count. No?
No. The extra data is some space that you can associate with the page.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why, but that's useful for some applications.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a wrapper to reference that field in the structure.
Now, the reference count, I'm not sure whether we need it or not, because it might be that the SQLite logic requires to check the reference count before it does things like freeing a page.
But freeing a page, what would it mean for us?
It would mean deallocating a persistent memory page.
When he says freeing a page here, it's basically, I no longer need this page in memory, but the page is still in disk.
I don't know what this is a persistent reference count or just a volatile reference count?
Oh no, all this is volatile. All these are operations in memory.
Then, okay, I see. Then it would only make sense to use this reference count for cached pages.
Yes.
And if we don't have cached pages, then maybe all of these will be no-ops. Several of these things could be no-ops.
Yeah, and these are all things that about configurations.
Here's a couple more minutes. Almost done.
So, where should I go from here?
I don't know. Just beat out an implementation and see how it works. go with your intuition. I think these things are done brute force way, in my experience.
Do you think I should start writing in the code?
I think, you know, for Friday, you might want to just summarize what we spoke about today to give them a sense for what they might have some questions, but until you start writing the code, you won't know answers yourself.
Okay.
So beat out some raw first implementation without trying to make many things perfect or anything perfect. Just get this thing to work, right? And some things might break, but at least you'll learn a lot in the process of getting to that point.
Okay. Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
Yeah, because then you will learn much more quickly. I mean, you'll know, and you'll know for sure as well what's going on. Because if you don't know for sure, it'll break.
Sure.
Yeah. Sure.
I guess I need to write a lot of code before this will start working.
Yeah, yeah. Start with no-ops for many of the functions and see where you get. A bunch of your time will be spent in debugging. That's my estimate.
Okay.
But overall, the direction seems reasonable. If you... I mean, there are two things. One is leave what the default implementation has is don't touch it. And the other is convert the default implementation into a no-op if you've already gotten rid of some of the components that the default implementation touches.
Right.
I think that would be the best way to move forward.
Okay.
And then we can keep refining it as to make progress.
Okay.
Are these guys here?
Yeah.
Santana.
Fancy desk.
What?
Fancy new desk.
Fancy new desk.